The new film, The Killing of Kenneth Chamberlain, dramatizes an almost 10-year-old police shooting that still resonates today. In the early morning of November 19, 2011, police in White Plains, New York, were called to the apartment of Kenneth Chamberlain, a 68-year-old black retired Marine. Chamberlain had accidentally triggered his life aid alert button while he was sleeping, and the company sent the police to check on him. Here's a scene from the film.
Do you have anyone else in your unit with you? Are you by yourself?
No one else here.
All right, well, we got a call about a possible medical emergency.
And I'm telling you, I do not have an emergency, and I didn't call anybody.
Despite Chamberlain's assurances that he was all right, the situation escalated. Officers broke in, tasered him, and shot him with live ammunition. He later died at the hospital. The Killing of Kenneth Chamberlain opens in theaters and on demand Friday, and joining me now is Chamberlain's son, Kenneth Chamberlain Jr. I'm sorry, sir, for your loss.
Thank you.
I want to ask about this scene we've just heard of. The police are knocking at your father's door. Tell us a little bit more what happened next.
They arrived at his apartment. They knocked on the door. My father came to the door. He said, "I didn't call you. I'm fine." Now, we know that there's three times that you can make entry into someone's home. It is with permission, with a warrant, or exigent circumstances. They didn't have any. So, and you were there for a medical emergency, so there was no need for you to try to come inside there after he said that he was all right. But for over 90 minutes, they would bang on the door, they would yell at him, they would scream at him, they would mock his military service. At one point, you hear him tell one of the officers, "I'm telling you, I'm all right." And the officer responds saying, "I don't give an F," and uses the N-word.
Now, we hear your voice on the phone at one point in the film here. I mean, what are your specific memories of conversations with your father that morning?
I actually did not speak to my father that morning. You know, that was just the creative licensing piece right there. I actually received a phone call from a friend of mine that also lives in the building. He called me and he said, "You need to get over here right away." And when I asked him why, he said the police were banging on my father's door. And I asked why. And as soon as he was about to say, "I don't know," he yelled out, "Oh, my God." And I asked what happened. And he said, "I think the police just shot your father." Outside of that, the life aid monitoring station suggested to the police that they contact me, said, "Call his son." And the police department refused to do so.
Wow. And some of this is captured so dramatically and humanly in this film. Let's listen to a part where your father's niece is approaching an officer outside of his apartment door.
"You know, he has a heart condition, and sometimes he doesn't think right. You know, he imagines things."
"Does he have any weapons in his apartment?"
"I don't know. I don't think so."
"Anyone else in there with him?"
"I doubt it. You could talk to my mama. She might be..."
"No, thank you, ma'am.
You don't want to talk to..."
"Thank you for the help."
So, Kenneth, what's important about this moment, this tone here by the police officer?
I think that it's very, very accurate. Although you change names because it's a fictional narrative due to pending litigation and things like that, my cousin, who lives upstairs, did come downstairs. And she did ask the police officers to let her talk to my father, and they refused. And you also hear on the actual audio where they ask my father if he has family, and you can hear my cousin in the background yell out, "Yes, he does."
And they ignore that.
They were there on a medical call, and their job is to defuse a situation, but all they did was create one.
Yeah. Now, your father had diagnosed mental health issues. Can you talk a little bit about that and how the police response might have gone a little differently if that were known?
And here we go. Also, they knew. If you listen to the actual tapes, and the actual calls of that day, they tell him that they're responding to a medical emergency, and they also classified him as an EDP, an emotionally disturbed person. So you knew what you were responding to. This is just a classic example of race and class playing a role in how you respond to different neighborhoods in cities.
And this event occurred a decade before far more publicized incidents, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd. What has it been like for you to watch these victims.
It's trauma. I relive the trauma. I mean, even speaking about what happened to my father, that's reliving the trauma over and over and over again. And unfortunately, we have a system of justice that's in place that doesn't place any value on the lives of Black or brown people. So we are constantly fighting. We're constantly trying to get some semblance of justice. And here we are now, November 19th makes 10 years, a decade. And I've come to the conclusion that there will never be justice for Kenneth Chamberlain Sr. All I can hope for is some type of accountability.
Yeah, well, as you describe, it has been almost 10 years that you have been seeking to hold the police officers accountable. Right? No criminal charges were brought. You filed a civil suit that is ongoing. The district attorney of White Plains, New York, wants to take another look here. Do you think possibly that the events of the last year, notably the murder conviction of Derek Chauvin and the death of George Floyd, may potentially help your case?
I think it's great that the district attorney is taking a second look at the case. And definitely, given the current climate with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, it's kind of forcing some of these elected officials and prosecutors to look at some of these cases again. I'm hoping that this current DA, Mimi Rocha, will look at it. And if she sees something and it's a chargeable offense, you know, I welcome it, because I don't want people to believe that the conviction of Derek Chauvin in the killing of George Floyd, that conviction is the blueprint to how to fight injustice or extrajudicial killings and summary executions. That conviction represents accountability on the smallest level, but not justice, because there can be no justice when the rates of shootings and killings remain steady.
Hmm. You have been very public, speaking out about your father's case, writing in newspapers about the situation. This film is now out. What do you hope this accomplishes in the public conversation?
I'm hoping that it's going to kind of reignite the conversation. I mean, here in New York State, you had task force that were put together to reimagine and redevelop what policing could look like, but we still haven't seen any real significant changes. And at the very least, if nothing else, I want this film to be a teaching tool of what not to do. You don't do that.
Can I ask you if this film for you, I mean, you work, has it been hard to watch?
It's hard to watch every time I watch it. And I've been to film festivals where we've won awards for it. But each and every time I see it, tears fall from my eyes.
Yeah. And finally, can I ask you to share just a couple additional memories of your father for those who are interested in this film?
It's interesting because I've had conversations and someone said to me, you know, don't tell me about what happened to your dad while he was killed. Tell me something that makes you smile, that makes you laugh about your dad. And I always go back to a day that I graduated from high school. They called my name, Kenneth Chamberlain Jr., and people were clapping, but I could still hear my father's voice over everyone. And I made contact with him, and he threw his hands up in the air and yelled, "Yes," and dropped to his knees. And it was just, you know, something that was, you know, I've never forgotten it. I mean, my dad was my superhero. He was a man of integrity, a man of honor, and what happened to him shouldn't have happened.
Kenneth Chamberlain Jr., his father's death at the hands of police is the focus of the new film, The Killing of Kenneth Chamberlain. Kenneth, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Janet Fiore, who was the district attorney in the case of Kenneth Chamberlain, has said that the original case was extensively investigated, and both state and federal investigators looked at the facts and determined independently not to pursue charges in the Chamberlain case. We reached out to the White Plains Police Department, but no response yet.